Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
8 dogs have been rescued from appalling living conditions in Mallow, County Cork, by the ISPCA. 5 Bichon Frise and 3 Shih Tzus were in awful physical condition and suffering from badly matted coats when they were rescued recently by the animal charity from a dilapidated pen. And to prevent further suffering, the dogs had to be sedated before they were treated and groomed. Now, if you saw the pictures, I know that when I say matted coats, there's a lot more to it. They were neglected to the point where they looked starving. Their coats were so badly matted. Their hairs look like tufts sticking out. It's vile. You wouldn't even recognise them as dogs. It was absolute, because if you saw Bichon Frise, which I'm sure most of you knew, they're kind of nice, white, fluffy dog. They're beautiful coats. But these dogs, their coats were filthy. They were sitting in their own poo all day. They were urinating on themselves. Probably for months they'd never been looked after, combed, washed, fed properly. They looked like they were suffering from malnutrition. They had dental problems, skin issues. They had parasites on their skin. Now, the ISPCA senior inspector, Lisa O'Donovan, said it was really heartbreaking to see such lovely dogs living in such appalling conditions. And the suffering that they would have endured was just unimaginable. They now have the promise of a secure, loving home ahead of them. Hopefully, these dogs will all get a good home. And I think they will, because they are quite sought-after types of dogs, Shih Tzus and Bichon Frise, because of their pedigree. I don't have an appeal to the public to be vigilant about the care of animals in their area. Make sure or make a call if you suspect that an animal could be suffering, that the dogs have been vaccinated, microchipped, will be neutered and hopefully rehomed with responsible owners. Anyone with any interest in rehoming one of these rescued dogs, by the way, should visit the ISPCA website, but they've probably already got people. But indeed, if you're interested, should go to the website anyway. But I want to ask you about people who mistreat animals or neglect animals and ask you if they think they should get severe jail sentences. Not so long ago, Pete Wedderburn, known as Pete the Vet, said we just need to enforce the laws we already have. We do not need to call for animal cruelty laws. He was talking about another animal cruelty incident at the time about 2 years ago. He said people don't need to start shouting for new laws against animal cruelty in Ireland. We already have them. The next bit is enforcement, and that's where the challenge is, because the Gardaí are plenty busy doing all sorts of other stuff, and if someone comes to them complaining about cruelty to a kitten or a dog, it's not like it's going to be top of their list. And I get the point that he's making, because the argument is that human beings are more important. So do you think cruelty against animals should be taken as seriously as, say, cruelty against children or other adults? The Animal Health and Welfare Act 2013, which was brought in by Simon Coveney, by the way, at the time, includes provision for increased powers for authorised officers to investigate complaints of animal cruelty and stricter penalties and convictions. In 2014, new penalties for convictions for animal cruelty were introduced to include powers granted to a judge to ban a person from owning an animal with a maximum of 5 years in jail. However, convictions are extremely rare. Very rare, actually. I think there's only been one. And if a person was to kick a child around the kitchen and video it, you can be sure the Gardaí would remove the child from the situation and the person responsible would go to jail. So why is this not the case for animals? And the argument is that some people say you cannot equate a human life to an animal's life. I mean, there are some who say an animal is a part of the family, is a living being and should be given the same respect as a human. But do you believe we take it seriously enough? And let me give you a scenario. If somebody kicks a child, like if I kick somebody's child tomorrow, a stranger's child, most likely I would probably get sentenced. Maybe, well, it depends if I really hurt the child. Right? If I really hurt the child, let's say, I'll most likely go to jail. You know, depending on, I've no previous conviction, so maybe the judge would be lenient on me and give me a 2-year suspended sentence. I might only get 3 months or something like that, the rest suspended. But if I kicked a dog, it's extremely unlikely I would go to jail. Actually, nobody would probably bat an eyelid. And if somebody saw it and even complained about me, the worst that's probably going to happen is the guards come along and say, Jesus, now don't do that again. That's not nice. Should we do what you did that for? I might get some sort of adult caution. So that's the worst that's going to happen. So in other words, we don't treat animals the same way as we treat human beings when it comes to the law, even though the laws are there to protect them. And I'm asking you, should we? Do you think it's taken seriously enough? If I neglect a child, if I didn't comb its hair, for example, like in this dog's case, and allowed its teeth to go rotten and kept it in a dirty pen in its own faeces and urine for months, I would be locked up. The guards would take the child and adopt the child and take it off me and lock me up for neglect of a child. But if I did it to a dog, yes, they'll take the dog. The ISPCA will take the dog, rehome the dog, hopefully, if they can get the dog back to good health. But nothing will happen to me. The worst case, I'll be banned from owning an animal. But should I go to jail? Let me know what you think. Some people will say, absolutely. Whereas others will say, well, hold on, no, look, it's an animal. You can't equate the two, an animal and a human being. Let me know what you think. 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. It's WhatsApp or text, either one. You can send us a message. Should I go to jail for being cruel to an animal? Julia, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Julia?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Julia, by the way, I haven't been cruel to an animal. I want to make that clear to people. Right. But I am a bit of a hypocrite because, you know, I had mince burgers for dinner. So I suppose there is a bit of hypocrisy in me saying that because I accept cruelty to animals because I eat meat. But anyway, that's a whole other argument. But Julia, you know, these people who let these animals suffer, neglected them, you know, their dental hygiene, their coats, didn't feed them properly, should they go to jail?
If it's a really severe case...
Did you see the pictures online?
I did, yeah. I see a lot of pictures online because I'm following various animal rescue pages on Facebook. And if it's a case of severe cruelty and severe neglect of more than maybe one or two pets, like your puppy mills or like your 10 donkeys or your 20 horses that you can't look after, I really think people should step up and people should actually get sent to jail for something like this. It's not about kicking a dog. It's about doing it all over again over a longer, longer, longer period of time to many, 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 many animals. I have 3 cats, and I don't want to say that I kicked my cats, but I pushed them on the side as well if they just do nonsense here in the house. But that's not animal cruelty. Animal cruelty goes way, way, way further. As you said, that dogs are sitting in their pens in their own shit and their own piss for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and are not getting looked after. That's animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. And in these cases, people should get locked away and they should get fined. You can't compare it to child abuse or anything else or to anything else what's out there, but we should at least start taking responsibilities for these cases and show that we actually have respect towards animals.
And I agree with everything you said, but do animals have the same rights to be treated with the same respect as human beings?
I think so. If they're
all
part
animals,
of your family, is all animals. If you said early on that they're part of your family, you should treat them as part of your family.
But is that only the animals we love? You know, cats and dogs, which are domesticated. Is it only animals we love, or what about pigs and cows and rats and mice? And so where do you draw the line? Are all animals equal, or is it only certain ones that we've decided we select because we like those animals, like cats and dogs?
We should be fair to all animals. We should be really fair to all animals. I'm a vegetarian myself. I haven't eaten a piece of meat in 20 years, and I started to become a vegetarian because I don't like the way how cows and pigs are getting treated in animal farms or in the big meat factories.
Yeah, that's but you still drink milk. You still drink milk,
vegetarian.
Don't you? You still drink milk.
But you can get meat and milk and cheese and all this from sustainable farms where people.
Well, it may be sustainable,
treated.
But there is still, with respect, and I'm not having a go at you, by the way, because I'm a hypocrite as well, right? But with respect, even if it's sustainable, there's still an element of cruelty because the cow has to be artificially inseminated and the calf will be taken away so they don't take the milk and chickens have to be inseminated. They're kept in battery farms usually to lay eggs, all that kind of stuff. So there is always going to be an element of using animals and cruelty to get any kind of dairy products or meats, right? So the
but
point
you can still look after those animals. You don't have to have them in tiny cages where 30 chickens are sitting on top of each other, no air to breathe, no daylight whatsoever, no contact with anything else. You can still treat them with respect even if you take things off them. It's the same you're going to work. Someone takes things off you. Someone takes your knowledge. You're sitting in a lovely office. You're not sitting in a cage and talking on the radio.
Oh, you want to see this room? It's like a cage, I swear to God. And I wouldn't mind. I've got to give away a little secret here in Classic Kids tonight, okay? We're waiting for the maintenance men to come tomorrow and the air conditioning is broken. And I'm in a studio with lights on that I'd say is probably about 35 degrees at the moment because there's no air in it. and I can tell you it's stifling. So yes, I am in a little cage.
Now you feel like a chicken, you know, you kind of can imagine how chickens feel when they are in those big batteries.
I feel like I'm in Barbados here at the moment. But okay, so you believe that animals deserve the same respect, and if we are consistently cruel to an animal or neglect an animal in such a heinous, horrible way as these pictures, that we deserve to go to jail?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stay there. Morris, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Morris?
Evening, Noel. How are you doing?
How you doing, Morris? How's things?
Great.
Good New Year, good Christmas.
Excellent, very good. Have the grandchildren home.
Good, that's wonderful. So, Morris, I mean, are animals and humans, do we both deserve exactly the same respect?
I done a little bit of research. I had a look at the Cork situation, right?
Yeah.
With the dogs.
Did you see the pictures? Yeah. They're horrible.
I did, horrible. And it's hard to believe that there's human beings out there that would do that to animals, right? But they live among us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, what needs to happen to those people that perpetrated that crime against those 8 dogs, they need to be publicly humiliated. Posters need to go up. We need to name them. We need to shame them. We need to get them into court and ban them for life from, never mind looking at an animal, but being within 100 yards of an animal. And any money that's spent by the state services on getting those animals back to health should be a compulsory purchase order put on some of their property, if not all of us, and they should be forced to pay and donate thousands of pounds to the vets and the
animal welfare.
Exactly. And they should be make walk up and down the town of Mallow with a sandwich board on them saying, "I'm an animal abuser." And that's the only way you're going to get these people.
I can tell you now, if we did everything that you're suggesting, named and shamed and walk up and down with a placard saying, I don't think they'd live very long.
Well, you
know what social outrage is like nowadays.
Yeah, and do you know what the attitude is now online? Do you know what's going to happen online when this really comes like viral? What are you all going on about? They're only bleeding animals.
Morris, there are people who don't have that same love of animals that you or I or Julia might have. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a little dog, love her to bits, Millie, you know, and my partner has a cat, love her to bits. I mean, I have to say, I was never fond of cats till I met my partner 3 years ago, and the cat is wonderful. You know what I mean? She's a pedigree house cat. She doesn't go outside.
Yeah. Like I said, it takes a bit of getting used to, but It's just, you know, when you see such vulnerable animals that are being used and abused and kept in horrendous conditions. Like somebody said to me through a comment that he made, he said, think about it, like those kids on the border of America, they're not much better off because they're illegal immigrants, you know. So we are cruel to our own kind and we are cruel to animals. But to me, that goes beyond depravity, what I looked at online today. They are depraved, mentally disturbed people to think that they could keep animals in that condition in 2020 in this country and get away with it. They should be made an example of.
I'm kind of with you, but I think nowadays with social media and social outrage, we have to be very careful how we do that, because then you could start, and by the way, not that I care too much about the people who did this to the animals, you could put their lives in danger.
Not so much that, I mean, to say there is the rigours of the law, and it needs to come down very hard on the likes of these people. Mm-hmm. Because I think if we send out a message...
I agree with everything else you said. I mean, whatever the cost is of rehoming these animals... If they have property, we should put a lien on their property, absolutely.
Sell their car,
their mobile home. I'm with you.
Take their savings out of the bank. Make an example of them and make them never forget what they've done to these animals. I'd put the pictures of the dogs up in their house to remind them every day for what they've done. Because you can never forgive anybody for doing that to a little creature. Never. Mm. You know, and
going back to my question that I asked Julia, because I eat meat, and Julia admits that she's a vegetarian, but she eats dairy products. So are we all, well then, are you a hypocrite? Am I a hypocrite? Because you know, Morris, as well as I do, the steak you had today, or the fish that you had today, or whatever it is that you had for your dinner today, there was some level of cruelty and neglect of an animal to get that on your plate. So are we only nice to the animals that we like?
Well, see, we're talking about domesticated animals and then farm animals.
Yeah, but then what's the difference, really? The only difference is a title, and we gave them those titles because we chose, so we're socially conditioned to have dogs and cats as pets, right? Whereas if you take somewhere like Korea, for example, where they eat dogs, or India, where they don't eat beef and the cow is sacred, every country is socially conditioned differently.
Exactly, and then in Asia they eat crickets and street food.
Ah, whatever. Not so, that wouldn't be my.
No, I'm just telling you. I know friends of mine that have been in Asia.
And mealworms.
It's gorgeous. Exactly, they love it. They said it was great.
Ah, stop.
So,
you
know,
cringy.
You have to adapt your situation. But look at the Flintstones. They had the baby dinosaur was a pet for their caveman, and then we progressed, we got on. But it's the cruelty, and all them dogs were used for to make profits. No care, no love, no attention, no shots, no nothing. They were used and abused to produce pups for a puppy market.
Probably, and yes, probably.
You see what I mean? So it's the depravity of the people that done it to them. And there is people in the farming industry that are cruel to animals as well, and cases have broken before. But I just looked at these poor little things and I went, you know what, Jesus, it's hard to believe there's people out there in Ireland that would do that to an animal. Never mind.
They are, as I mentioned already, they're Bichon Frises, and they're kind of unrecognisable. But I mean, sure, Julia knows what a Bichon Frise normally looks like.
The problem is, and sorry to interrupt, these dogs are in those conditions since month and month and month. And the problem is that none of us is actually really open to look at our neighbours and to actually see what they have in our sheds. This suffering of those dogs should have been seen by someone way, 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 way beforehand.
Do we care? Do you think we care enough?
It's down to our own responsibility to actually step up, to either go to the neighbour themselves or to go to the guards and to say, look, there's something really suspicious going on down in that shed. That dog's crying all day long. It smells. Would you mind going to have a look? But we are so afraid of everything else. We sometimes don't even look out for our neighbours.
But Julia, can I ask you a question?
We don't even know what goes on in other houses, and that's exactly the problem. We should be more open-minded and actually look and watch and see and kind of observe what's going on in the neighbourhood.
Do you think we care enough, Julia, about animals? Do you believe we care enough? I know you clearly do, but do you believe in general people, Irish people, care enough about animals?
In general, I think Irish people do.
Mm.
We sometimes just don't get the chance because a lot of animals ending up because they can't move into houses or apartments.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I think Irish people care a lot about animals. So I'm originally from Germany, and it's probably like kind of 50-50. You have animal lovers, you have people who...
But you're a cat lady.
You have people who don't give a shit. You know, it's everywhere the same, really.
Have you always been a cat lady?
Always been a crazy cat lady. I have three cats at the moment.
What is it about cats? It's generally only women that own cats. What's going on there? Why is it only women?
They don't need to get looked after a lot. You see, they go in and out whenever they want. I leave the windows open during the day and they're just here.
But can I tell you something, right? And this is my observation from cats and dogs, because now I've been in a position where I've been with both, right? Dogs are extremely loyal, whereas cats, I find, are users. They use you for what they can get. They'll only be your friend when they want you to feed them or do something for them.
I think you need to live a bit closer to your girlfriend's cat or to your partner's cat.
I know, she loves me.
She comes to us with you with a wagging tail as well, you know?
I brush her as well. I was only brushing her there the other night. I swear to God, I got nearly another cat off her when I brushed her. Okay, but stay there for a second. Stay, Morris and Julia, please. Let me go to Derianne. Derianne, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Derianne?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Derianne.
Thank you.
Okay, so Derianne, you know, these eight dogs, I don't know whether you've seen the pictures or not, but they're horrendous.
I didn't see them, but to be quite honest with you, I chose them when I heard about them not to look at them because...
Okay, wise, maybe, yeah.
I break my heart crying and it's just heartbreaking, honestly.
Yeah.
But you know, only recently, and I swear I'm going to write to this judge in America, in Ohio. Now, he is an avid animal lover himself. But he had two women up in front of him, one woman who had abandoned something like 30 kittens in a wood, and another woman, she had, can't remember exactly, but whatever animals she had were in the same situation as the ones you're talking about tonight. And he sentenced the first woman to spend a night in a wood on her own for 24 hours where there were wild coyotes, etc. And he said, then maybe you'll know what it's like for the animal, for the kittens.
Oh, okay, good idea.
And the second woman, he gave her a sentence to spend 24 hours on a dump And by the time she was finished smelling it, etc., he said she might realise what it's like for those animals to be in a state like that. And
see, I tell you what, if they did that over here, if a judge did that to somebody over here, they'd probably sue the legal system.
Yeah, of course they would. But my point is, but we're not doing anything about the
people
here.
No, we're not.
And we're not hearing anything. Like, I know of a girl...
the worst that happens is, I've seen a couple of cases, and not very many, where people are banned from owning pets.
Yeah. I seen
there was a case last year of a woman in Donegal, and there was three dogs who were emaciated. She obviously hadn't fed them in months, right? Literally, they'd been living on water and a couple of scraps, probably. But they were literally skin and bone when the ISPCA got... And she was banned from owning animals for, I think, a period of 5 years. And that
it should have been forever.
I wouldn't even imagine so, yeah. But
listen, I know of a girl. Now, it's not somebody I know, but somebody told me about her. And she got herself a Rottweiler. And has them still in the back garden, hail, rain, snow. It was one of my sisters, actually, and she felt so bad about it, she bought a kennel for the girl. The dog didn't even go into it. And but here's the thing. There's nothing, if you report her, there's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the whole thing. Well, I'm just delighted whatever animal people caught those people in Mallow, but they should be named and shamed.
Right, okay. Well, we'll stay there for a second. Morris said the same thing, named and shamed. Let me just go as well to James. Sorry, James. You've heard Julia, Morris, Derianne, all more or less saying these people should be named and shamed. We should be doing more about it.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I definitely think we need to kind of figure out regulations around people who can buy dogs in the first place. Mm. I think that's where the problem stems from. The lax laws of ownership of these animals.
Mm-hmm.
I think dogs
should
really
be a done deal. You should never be allowed to buy pets on Dundee, for example. Never.
But I don't think you can buy a dog in Dundee. Can you?
You can.
I thought they stopped advertising dogs in Dundee.
I'm not too sure.
I get Helena to check it now, but as far as I know, you can't anymore. No, I don't think Dundee have dogs. I know. I'll get Helena to have a look and just see. Maybe you just go on the Dundee website and just put in puppies or something like that.
They were for sale before Christmas. And
there was no doubt at one point there was animals for sale on Dundee. But as far as I know, they've taken they've self-regulated themselves. Yeah, I think they have.
Yeah.
But there is... What? Oh, they are on sale on Dundee.
Oh, Jesus.
French dog bulldog... Okay. So they're getting French dog bulldog puppies for sale. How much are they?
$2,000, probably.
$1,450.
Yeah. Big money in those dogs now.
Okay, so I know that surprised me. I genuinely thought that Dundee had taken the self-regulation mode and banned them a couple of years ago, but clearly not. Helena's just looked over there now.
No, yeah, I thought I seen them a while ago. But maybe if you had a breeder's list with the IKC, maybe they're the only ones that can actually advertise the sale of dogs, the Irish Kennel Club.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, then it's a thoroughbred and it's a reputable...
I believe there should be a reputable website which is run by the ISPCA or the Irish Kennel Club, where it should be the only place where you should be buying buy dogs. But but you're also concerned, James, about the breeding of dogs and the types of dogs that are for sale, like pugs, for example.
Pugs, Cavalier, King Charles, those kind of small, I call them hybrid dogs. They don't really serve any purpose other than being a domesticated animal. Where you have some dogs who kind of originated for work purposes, like German Shepherds, Labradors, etc.
What about a Bichon Frise, for example?
I think they have a lot of genetic problems also, don't they? They come with a lot of flaws. And a lot of people aren't really aware that they're buying a dog that is actually racked with genetic faults. Would you say, they're extremely prone to tumours, etc.? Like, I know pugs can't even sprint because they have a problem with their navel.
They can't breathe properly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It blocks up on them when they sprint. Mm-hmm. So they can't breathe properly, and then they're prone to brain tumours, etc., and eye problems. And
so there was a whole phase he went through there going back about 5 years ago where people were buying these teacup dogs, which were basically runts of the litter being bred together to make them smaller. And they were prone to all sorts of digestive problems, breathing problems. They were dying within 2 or 3 years, for God's sake.
Pomeranians.
Yeah, so I wouldn't completely disagree, which I think we need to look at that, these type of breeds and how, how cruel it is to actually bring a dog into the world.
Well, even the general owner, the food that they give their dogs isn't even correct for them, like they're carnivores.
Mm.
And most people feed their dogs biscuits, dog nuts. I know in the vets they say they're perfectly fine. They come with all the nutrients, etc. But they're carnivores.
So yeah, what happened to the days when we used to give a dog a bone?
Yeah, well, the vet would advise him not to give a dog scrap. So would that fall under scrap? I know they say a bone can, it can break off and stick in the neck, etc. Or a sharp piece can puncture their stomach. I don't know how true that is. It depends on the size of the dog, I suppose. A German Shepherd.
Yeah, well, we used to, I mean, when I was a kid, we had dogs, like they were usually mongrels, but we had dogs. And sure, all they ever got was bones and scraps, and they lived perfectly fine.
Exactly. And, well, did they? Or were people just unaware? People never really brought the dogs to the vet if you go back 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if they really did live perfect. Was it just the illusion that the dogs just got on with it? Did they actually have underlying problems that they were never
Yeah, Jude mentions here the dogs don't actually eat the bones. They just eat the meat or the marrow from the bones, of course, don't they? Yeah.
Well, I can tell you now my dog eats the bones.
Right, okay. Okay, but getting back to this particular story, James, do you believe that people should go to jail?
There definitely needs to be harsh punishment. Jail, now, is it feasible now? You know, you have to be realistic with the punishments here because...
But I mean, if you're willing to neglect a dog, as Julie said, for months, sitting in its own piss and shit, for months, and not groom it and not feed it properly and neglect it, a beautiful dog as well, you know, well, I mean, you're an animal yourself. You clearly should be treated the same way.
Making it mandatory for them to participate in the dog's homes? So they have to give X amount of hours, like community service kind of, so they could have to do 100, 200 hours.
So you're saying that animals are different to humans? And the law should treat people differently?
They are, no. Well, here, look now. Let's be honest. Look how we treat people who abuse children in this country. So let's get real. You know, if you don't give a damn about people who are raping children, they get 2 years. I can't really see them buckling down on people who abuse dogs. You don't give a damn about humans in this country, you can murder someone and be out in 7 years. So realistically, do you actually think it's feasible to lock people up for animal cruelty? I think making them participate in the dogs and rescue homes...
Well, let me ask Julia. Julia, would that be good enough? I know you said they should go to jail, but James doesn't believe that's feasible. Get them involved in animal rescue or make them do some sort of work with an animal centre or refuge or whatever it is to pay back.
I don't think people who abuse dogs or cats, I don't think they should be doing anything in an animal shelter because they're surrounded by other animals, and I think they should just stay away. But they should maybe go to jail for 1 or 2 years, but they should get really heavily fined.
But what's the cost
I don't think naming and shaming is the right way to go because that's kind of modern bullying, and we know exactly what happens with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
So usually people who do abuse animals, they have a mental issue with themselves. They have their own problems that they can't shift and they can't deal with it. That's why they usually, I believe, end up in animal cruelty.
So they need to seek help themselves
to see why they actually are in that situation and why they actually take that right to abuse an animal that can't defend itself.
Yeah, sorry, James, go ahead.
Well, I would say the main problem here is puppy farming. I think that's where, I reckon that's what those dogs are being used for.
Well, Ireland is the puppy farm capital of Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But we don't care too much about it because myself and Mike, I tell the story quite a lot, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were outside having a smoke outside the building here and there was two vans across the road and they were back to back. And there was cages, they were smallish kind of vans, but there was cages in the back of one of the van. And all we could hear was dogs yelping, like as if they were being hurt. And we looked over and we kind of walked over, you know, to try and have a look, see what was going on. And one guy was pulling the dogs out of the cages by the scruff of the neck and shoving them into sacks. And they put them in the back of the other guy. We took the reg, rang the guards, and nobody gave a shit.
But the only way you can really combat that would be at the ports now. Those dogs are more than likely being exported
Absolutely.
Probably to Britain or mainland Europe.
Yeah, well, that's what we're right beside the port here. So and it was an English reg car, so I know these dogs were going to the UK.
I know the BBC done a documentary about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was on fighting dogs, and they managed to get a fighting pit bull from Finland all the way across Europe, across Britain, and into Northern Ireland, and they were never stopped at once and asked for the dog's passport.
It just shows you where the weak points actually are. I think every van and every truck should get checked at Dublin Port. Every vehicle that goes out of this country or that comes into this country.
I would agree with you in principle, Julia, but unfortunately that's not feasible. You couldn't do that. You wouldn't have the time to do it. You would have a backlog for drivers and haulage companies waiting 4 and 5 hours to get on a boat. It's just not feasible.
God knows how many people died in trucks already, like the poor refugees and the other.
I know, but they can only do it randomly. And that's the chance people take when they want to do something illegal, that they might be the one picked randomly. So we couldn't check everybody.
There's no real chance at our ports now.
No. By the way, Dublin Port is probably the easiest port in the world to get into.
It's a joke.
There's two guards. The last time I looked at it, there was two guards standing in a hut. And the last two times I've come through Dublin Port from the UK, both times I was going over to the UK to buy a car, and I drove back. And I could have had 40 people in the back of the car with me, and nobody checked. We drove straight past the little hut where the two guards were. They didn't seem to be stopping anybody. I could have had any amount of drugs in the back of the car. It wouldn't have mattered. So Dublin Port is a joke.
That is an absolute joke. Yeah. And then you have the gaping hole of Northern Ireland. The people up there don't want checks between mainland Britain and Northern Ireland. So you're also combating that gaping hole.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no checks at all. I went on at Wales, at Holyhead. And there was no checks there, you just drive on, and there was no checks when I drove off. Yeah. It's bizarre. It's actually quite weird, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, but that's where it all happens. That's how all these things are coming into the country.
Well, there should be some sort of fear of being stopped, and there isn't really a fear of being stopped. I mean, if you saw at least one out of every three cars being, you know, pulled over to the side by, you know, 10 guards on duty, you know, at least you might think you might be stopped. You know what I mean? And you might not want to risk it. But at the moment, sure, it's well worth risking because you're not going to get stopped, most likely.
Because there's no real risk.
No, there's no risk to touch.
So you're not risking much. Like.
All right, well, let me get back to the animal cruelty again. Let me just go to Sharon as well. Sharon, who's our resident vet. Hold on. Sharon, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sharon?
Evening, Niall. How are you?
I'm good. Did you see these pictures of these dogs?
I didn't. I've been really busy, and actually my phone, I was in a meeting till 9:30, and my phone was going, buzz, 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 and it was Helena. I was like, oh, it's going to be something animals, I need to get on, but I'm coming right in on the tail of this.
Okay, well, just to remind you the story there, it was in Mallow in Cork, yeah, 8 dogs found in a dilapidated pen in Mallow in Cork, Bichon Frise and Shih Tzus. Now, I've seen the pictures, they're not even recognisable as dogs, because all their hair is matted together, they've obviously been sleeping in their own poo and pee, and they haven't been fed properly. They had dental problems. They had to sedate the dogs to even comb their hair, try and wash them or comb their hair. They were in a really bad shape.
I do see this. I've seen this a lot, not just in Ireland, in the UK. Everywhere, there's always going to be animal cruelty. There's always people that it's going to be hard to make responsible. But the actual aim of changing this isn't going to be brought about by stronger sentencing, because these people know how to duck the law. I think what we will see in the next 5, hopefully, years, maybe 10 years, is globally there's going to be quite a big change in the approach to animal welfare, because actually what we need to do is control breeding. Every animal wants to be licensed, to be bred, to be of a certain standard, to be of a certain health, to be a certain temperament, to then be licensed to be able to be bred. And that means that if you can't buy a dog from a puppy farmer, because it won't have the right papers, it won't have the licensing, and you will get a fine. And therefore, there will still be some underground people. You'll never get rid of it. But what you do is places like Sweden, they have no rescue centres, because everyone that has a dog has to go through training, has to commit to insurance, has to look after them. And therefore, what we've got to do is change the whole approach to how people are allowed to own animals, because it's been far too easy, far too free, far too disposable, far too trendy for breed types. He's saying with the pugs and all the brachycephalics, the short-faced dogs that can't breathe.
Yeah, well, I mean, let me focus on that for a second, because James believes those breeds should be banned. I think that's what he's suggesting. And that they should, you know, stop breeding these dogs that have genetic problems. But, I mean, a lot of pedigree dogs have genetic problems, don't they?
Nearly all dogs that are bred to a high show standard have been bred to accentuate their traits that make them desirable in the show ring. The traits desirable in the show ring have come from old school ideals, which need to be outruled, need to be overruled. Vets are working tirelessly to try and get Kennel Club, American Kennel Club, and all these organisations to actually allow healthy judging rather than exaggerated trait judging. I breed German Shepherds. I like nice dogs with strong straight backs, good hips, great temperament. The German Shepherds in the show ring are nothing like this.
They almost look like they're lame.
Exactly, and therefore, those dogs are being rewarded for being abnormal. So are pugs, so are Frenchies, bulldogs that can't give birth normally, and yet they're still allowed to breed with cesareans. All these things, there needs to be at a
They do cesareans
level.
On dogs.
Oh, bulldogs get booked in for a cesarean. It's, you know, it's not too posh to push. It's actually too abnormal to have a normal baby. So they get mated, they get scanned, and they get booked in to have a cesarean they're due. Because so many of them, great big heads, great big wide shoulders, very narrow pelvises, can't give birth normally. Lots of breeds are the same.
And what about like things like West Highland Terriers, who are very prone to tumours on their around their kind of breasts and stuff like that?
Lots of dogs are prone to breast tumours. That's related to their hormones, but Westies are very a lot of skin disease. You can breed that.
That's right.
Them.
They have skin. I had a Westie. Had skin problems. Also had hip problems.
Yeah, lots of problems. But again, if all the animals have to go through screening and have to go through genetic testing to see whether they've got these failings, and therefore it doesn't matter if they're the nicest dog in the world, they shouldn't be bred from. You know that the dogs. You'll always get a dog that you breed from, and you don't get the result of the two parents with good hips and good skin and good this and good that. But that dog then won't be allowed to breed, and therefore it's only the dogs that pass on the good genes that will be allowed to breed.
Let me get back to the cruelty then, if I can. Okay, we kind of focused a bit on that here. But in relation to the cruelty, do you believe, you know, it'd be worth putting people, making examples of people, so the individual, say, responsible for these 8 dogs, should they go to jail? People are saying online they should go to jail.
I absolutely think they should, and there's so many studies that show links between animal cruelty, child abuse, abusive relationships, crime, etc. So I think that there's a huge problem here that is being left. I remember the most horrific thing I had to deal with was being phoned by a guy that said, come and put my dog to sleep because it's just gone for my kid, and I'm only allowed the kids under supervision, and if the dog goes for the kid, I won't be allowed to see my kid. So we said, okay, we'll try and sort that out for you. He rang up 5 minutes later and says, don't bother, I've cut its throat.
Oh, God.
Now we rushed out there, and he had 2 dogs, and the one he said, oh, it didn't die straight away, so I stabbed it in the heart, and this poor dog was lying butchered in his garden in front of his children, and the RSPCA, the UK equivalent, were powerless to take his other dog away because that dog wasn't abused. And you think the madness of this, but our laws are so...
And was he fined? Was anything happened to him? No.
Oh, it was a court case, but again, thousands and thousands of pounds of taxpayers' money, and you know,
nothing happens.
Clever little hitches get them off, and they're normally, a lot of people are the sort of people in society that know that they get their free legal aid and they know how to work the system, and they still manage to get away. It's the whole system needs changing, sadly.
But our dogs, do you believe that dogs should have the same rights as human beings?
I think if people take a dog into their home and they treat it as a family member, it should be allowed the same rights as being
within
a
reason,
life.
Yeah.
Within reason, I'm the same. You know, animals are everything to me, but my child is still, you know, my child.
Yeah. Hang on, sorry, James, what are you trying to say there?
Right, okay, just for the sake of the argument, okay, so somebody takes a pet goldfish into their home. Would that be granted the same legal protection?
In other words, where do you draw the line? And what animals?
That's right. It's a really tricky one. And goldfish aren't the same sentient beings as
or hamsters.
Dogs. There's not a level of comprehension. Dogs have been shown to express feelings, to understand.
And how do we know that goldfish don't show feelings? I'm just curious.
Because all the neurological testing that you can do shows they have very short brain span. Their brain doesn't work in the same way. They don't have.
So why did you just say the same?
Sorry?
What did you say that time?
What about goldfish don't have the same neurological pathways, so they don't have the same thought processes.
What did you say that time?
Ha, ha, so you got me, you bugger.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I was doing a dory on you there, sorry. Okay, yeah. Genuinely with a goldfish, is that why they swim around the bowl in circles? Because they don't remember being there the last time?
That's another argument altogether. But no, it's very different. It's very different.
No, I used to have a reef tank, a saltwater tank. It was 1,800 litres. And I had anemone and I had hard corals, soft corals.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I do know a little bit about fish. But, I mean, and some fish actually do have great sensitivity. I mean, I had a puffer fish. And I used to feed a shrimp from Aldi. because it likes shrimp from algae. And when I put the shrimp in, it would actually come up out of the water and take it out of my hand.
Yeah.
And it would see me walking into the room, and the tank was a long 1,800 litre tank, and it used to go down the tank and follow me down the room.
Yeah, they do. They have learned behaviours. You can train fish. They have certain behavioural...
So then the point James is making is right. Well, then, you know, where do you draw the line? Well, you know, is it only the animals we like that we allow have some level of rights?
Why would you be cruel to a goldfish, but it's going to be much harder to prove.
But then, if you're going on level of conscientiousness, a pig is far more conscientious. No,
than a dog.
Pig is a
absolutely
really
highly
intelligent animal.
Absolutely, and that's why there's been huge moves in farming in the last since I've been a vet. The changes in welfare in farming, the understanding of the mental sort of anguish that some of these animals go through, and how that needs to be alleviated, not just for the animal welfare, but you know the farmer wins out of it as well, because happier animals make better breeders, make better beef,
or whatever.
Sure.
So you know there is welfare has been really pulled up over the last 15-20 years, but it's got a long way to go.
Yeah, sorry, James, go ahead. Yeah.
No, well, at the end of the day, we're going to be shooting these pigs in the head.
Sharon, I mean, you would like... I know, sorry, Jude has gone there, but he did want to come on, but he had to go there. You would like to see something like that, would you?
I would. Tom's getting a lot of good press for this, but it was actually already in law. He's just brought it to light, but I still applaud him for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are going to see that. We're going to see this is going to be taken more seriously across the developed world anyway, and that's what's got this needing to be such a big issue.
Yeah, I mean, the bill, by the way, which was originally brought in by Obama in 2010, but it was updated by Florida lawmakers and then signed into law by Donald Trump. It does. It's called the Prevention of Animal Cruelty and Torture Act. And basically it's bans videos that show animals being crushed, burned, drowned, suffocated, impaled, or subject to any other form of torture. Now, realistically, I mean, come back to this question again. Are we hypocrites? Because we do that to animals to eat them.
It's a tough one, isn't it? But there's a lot of laws about how you actually, you know, do the deed to take the animal out.
There's the humane way of killing an animal. But really, is there any humane way of killing an animal? Because you're killing an animal who doesn't want to die, who's perfectly healthy.
I unfortunately, as vets, we have to kill animals all the time that, you know, don't want to die. But sometimes,
you don't kill healthy animals, do you? Really?
Well, sometimes you put it down. If they've bitten somebody or they showed aggression, you have to put them down. And often, if they're just without a home, they have to be put down. So a lot of the time.
And how does that make you feel as a vet? If I came along to you, right, and I said, "Oh, look, I have a Labrador here. I just don't want him anymore. I've got two kids now." And we have a smaller house, and would you just put them down for me?
I do everything possible. As a vet, you're actually allowed to refuse, but you actually have an oath to that euthanasia is always an option, and that makes it tricky. But I will always try and rehome them. I normally take them home myself, trying to find them a home, but not everybody does. But that isn't a solution. If people had to have the right training and the right commitment to take on the animal, that wouldn't happen. So that's where we need to make the changes.
All right, well, so we'll stay there, both of you. Let me go to Monica as well. Monica, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Monica?
Hello, Noel. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Monica, you're an animal lover. I mean, I don't know about you. Have you seen the story about these dogs in Mallow?
Yes, I saw the photograph.
I know, it's horrific, isn't it?
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, okay. So what should happen to the individuals responsible for these dogs?
Those particular dogs, they were mentioned in the media as a hoarding situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that would suggest that maybe the people in charge of those dogs have a deeper problem.
Yep, possibly. I think you have to have some sort of problem to allow an animal to be that distressed and not do anything about it.
Yes, but for it to be mentioned as a hoarding situation...
it wasn't just the animals. It was obviously the surroundings and the house and everything that goes along with it, yes.
There's something else going on. I would respectfully suggest out of a depth of ignorance. But, those people perhaps need... could I suggest they need care themselves, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they should be allowed to keep another animal until they can prove that they can do so properly.
personally, I would ban them from keeping an animal ever in their life again.
Yes, I could go partly along that way with you. But for people who are purposely cruel to animals, such as some people at Halloween and other times like that, I think that is unforgivable, and they should be, without sounding too bad about it, I think they should be somehow retrained. Maybe your friend in, is it PETA?
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Would be, if he was willing to help them to...
This is John Carmody, yeah.
Yeah, if they were, he was willing, or his organisation was willing to, can I say, re-educate people into realising that animals do suffer pain, they do feel pain, and they do feel discomfort, and they do need care.
Mm-hmm. I know you're saying there may be other issues with the individuals who own those 8 dogs, but
yes,
we could make that claim about anybody who's been cruel to an animal. I mean, there was a guy there 2 years ago or 3 years ago in the Phoenix Park. He was brought to court.
Yes,
now.
I know that. Yeah, and part of that case.
Yeah, and he swung the animal by the lead, like a lasso.
Well, he seems to have a massive problem controlling his anger.
Yeah, so everybody could claim, well, I have a problem, you know, but
even
with a problem, you have to realise, you must realise, you're a human being and you have some level of intelligence, no matter whether you're a hoarder or you have a mental health problem, you
this
do realise you're...
to keep dogs.
Well, you do realise you're being cruel.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that, and certainly on the surface, I go a long way towards what you were saying. I do not hold with people who say, actually, they're only animals, what difference does it make? I think that shows a depth of ignorance which I fail to understand, frankly.
Okay, well, what about James's point? If we're to say that animals have rights, and I believe they do,
yes.
But if we're to say that they have the rights to be protected, you know, like a family pet, like a member of the family, like anybody else, that, you know, like your children or whatever else, how far do you take that? I mean, James mentions, you know, what about the hamster?
Yes.
Or the lizard, or the goldfish.
Yes. Yes, the whole lot. But I tell you, I don't go as far as the people who apparently more and more say, oh, you know, here, Fido, here's your mammy coming to collect you. Excuse me? No. That's far too far in the other direction.
What, when you say your mammy?
Yeah, you know, that the pet, that the person in charge of the pet is the mammy or the daddy. I think that's...
People say that. I think that's just a term of endearment to the dog.
Yeah, but I mean...
I reckon Sharon probably does that, if the two be known.
Come on now, that's not fair. And the one thing that makes me just cringe is when people go, fur baby. My fur baby this, my fur baby that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I adore my dogs and I love all animals, but, you know, there is a sort of a natural order.
Yes.
And hang on, because James, you wanted to say something. James, do you have a pet, by the way, James?
I do, I have a dog.
Are you his daddy?
And a fish tank.
Are you his daddy?
No.
Are you not his daddy? Is he not the image of you? Are you not his daddy? His daddy. I hear people do that all the time. I don't see anything too wrong with that, by the way. My dog in Monaghan used to sleep in the bed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you see, I think
under the covers.
I realise that.
I think dogs need to know their place, though, now. Because, you know, if you're going to treat the dog the same as you, do you not think that can kind of corrupt the relationship between the dog and the owner? It's kind of the master. Like, will the dog actually have respect for you? I don't know. Because they are a pack animal. Aren't they?
Yeah, but the dog is... My dog has never gone for me or anything like that. Or if I didn't want her on the bed, I'd say, get off the bed.
Maybe the braids, maybe, because I prefer the more tough braids, like Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Yeah, you're not going to put a Rottweiler under the covers, would you?
Some people do.
Yeah, but a horse. Right,
can I ask a serious question, okay?
Yeah.
So if you're going to give animals rights, okay, then that will have to be extended to all animals, including wildlife and farm animals and domesticated pets. So you're into slippery, I think you're on a slippy slope, kind of, because it's really going to cause major problems for, let's say, farming.
Well, there was a Supreme Court case in New York 2 years ago where a gorilla or an ape who had been used for scientific experiments, as far as I know, a case was taken on his behalf that he should have the same rights as human beings. And they lost the case. Now, they believe that could have been a landmark ruling if he had have won the case, if the ape had won the case.
Seriously, right, let's say farm animals, okay? So if you extend these rights to farm animals, then we can't actually farm animals anymore because we are technically abusing them by the very nature of just raising them to slaughter them for food.
But James, during their life, the farmers take care of their farm animals. It's only for the sake that they're worth £1,000.
He's still taking the animal's life while it's healthy. Now, I agree with that because I recognise that human beings are a carnivore as well, an omnivore, or a mix. So it is essential. But that's what I'm saying. Legally, how are you going to do it?
Well, Sharon, you want to say something?
It's quite easy because you have a structured... You don't just go, blanket rule, one rule for one rule for everything. You have a structured way of applying what is acceptable practice for certain species. Because all species are very different. You know, humans aren't the same as pigs. Pigs aren't the same as dogs. We're all different
pigs
species.
Pigs are extremely intelligent, Sharon. You know that.
Yeah. Pigs are more intelligent than dogs, actually.
Yeah, well, pigs are extremely intelligent.
Different brains, but they have very good brains. So you have to apply standards relevant to their species.
So if you're going to measure on... Right, so let's say it's a conscientious...
Now you're guilty of speciesism, but go on, sorry.
Yeah.
She's a speciist.
Right. But see, Sharon is rational.
A farm pig. It would need to have different...
But there was people keep there's still a grey area because then there are people who keep sheep, goats, and pigs as pets.
Yes, so they would need to be deemed as not just the species, but the species in its surroundings, in its situation.
But you're going to grant
welfare principles to a pet sheep as you could to a farm sheep.
And I'd love a pet sheep. I'd love a little one with the ones with the black noses and the black feet.
Have you ever been near a sheep?
Oh. No, never in my life. I want a little one. I want a lamb.
You probably wouldn't want one.
I have this vision of the lamb running down my hall, jumping up and down. I think they're so cute. The little lambs now, not when they turn into fully grown sheep, but little lambs. Sorry, Monica, are you vegetarian or vegan or anything?
No, I'm not.
Are you like me? Because I don't like animal cruelty or I hate to see animal cruelty, but I do eat meat and I had lovely, actually, mince this evening. But are you a hypocrite like me, so?
Yeah, I suppose you could say, strictly speaking, yes, I am. I mean, I ate turkey at Christmas and enjoyed every bit of it. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't like what has to happen so that the meat lands up on my plate. But I'm sorry, I don't think my digestive system will put up with beans and lentils ad infinitum. It's just not possible.
If I had to live on lentils and soya and beans, I think I would just die.
No. And nut rizzles or whatever you call them.
No fish fingers even.
I don't think
it
would be healthy for anybody near me either.
So if human beings went to vegetarian, let's say, right, or even vegan, the amount of land we'd need to absolutely decimate to feed the human population.
Of course, yeah, for tofu and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We would absolutely decimate the land.
I watched a documentary the other night about a tofu being made. My God, it's vile. But I don't know how people eat that stuff. But sorry, James, just on a final note, you have a fish tank, do you?
I do. No, we spoke about this previously.
Did we? Maybe I have the memory of a fish because I don't remember. Is it a freshwater? It's freshwater.
Yeah, it's freshwater. Yeah, no, it is. 500 liters. It's a decent sized tank.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's more of a communal tank, not breed specific.
I did have a freshwater tank for a short while, but then I moved swiftly to a saltwater tank. I got very, very.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
David. Takes a bit of work.
A lot of work now. And
well, it's not as difficult as it used to be because nowadays the equipment that's available nowadays, you don't even have to do water changes anymore.
And then you can go to the Seahorse Aquarium and then get the water pre-mixed. You don't need to deal with all the science side of it. Also, so no, I do know what you mean, but just, when you lose one fish, it's a loss because of the price. They're an expensive, little creature to purchase.
Yeah.
That's
the problem. Mind you, they're not as expensive as they were about 10 years ago. They have come down because they are starting to breed them in captivity a lot more than they used to. Before, they used to have to get them from the Indian Ocean and all sorts of places.
Mm-hmm. Catch them wild.
Yeah, catch them wild. But now they are starting to breed fish, so they're not as expensive.
The price is coming down. Yeah. But I don't know, do you know what? The tropical fish tank just has a place in my heart. I've been keeping them for over 15 years.
It's very soothing. Do you have a fish tank, Sharon?
I used to, especially if they're on the water. I couldn't be that intensive with the time requirement.
There was an article I read by, it was a psychologist, I think, and he said keeping a fish tank and looking at a fish tank for 10 minutes every day can reduce your stress levels by 30%.
Yeah, but having to take care of the fish tank can increase it by 20%.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Yeah, especially if it's salt water. It can be quite stressful. Listen, guys and girls, thank you very much indeed.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.